Welcome to the Continuous Delivery Podcast. My name is Zarar.
I'm Hino.
And I'm Cheesy.
And we are outside today, as COVID appears to be in the rearview mirror. We are at Madison's Pub in downtown Toronto. Lovely day outside. Lovely day. And I know one of us just got double vaccinated.
That would be me.
How are you feeling?
Just fine. Just fine.
You sure you're fine? Because you did get the AstraZeneca.
We'll know in a couple of weeks, right?
If Cheesy's here for the next podcast, everything's good. If he's not, you know what happened. And also, we have Hino Marks. Hino, as you're a beer connoisseur, what did you go with today here?
Well, I mean, we don't have too many options here. So I just went with a standard Stella. And the reason for that is because I want to support our Belgian national team in the Euro Cup in soccer.
How are they doing there?
Well, they're doing great so far, but they have a couple of people who got injured in the first game, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay. And who got injured?
Well, actually, the name just escapes me.
Well, there you go. That tells you.
You know, the one wearing the Belgian uniform.
He's got a double broken orbital, so it's fairly significant. So he won't be showing anymore in this tournament.
I guess that answers the question how closely Hino follows the Belgian national team.
By the end of the tournament, I know all the names.
Okay, we do have a topic here today for this podcast, and I think we landed on Scrum Mastership for some reason. How we got here was, is do teams need Scrum Masters?
I still hold the opinion that if you have a really good Scrum Master, that they can be of tremendous value to your team. Does that mean that everyone who is a Scrum Master or who acts in the role of a Scrum Master is actually a good one? Not so much, right? So I would challenge that every Scrum Master is a value to their team, but I'm still convinced that they provide really good value if you have somebody who understands what that means and somebody who's actually a coach to the team, to be honest.
Yeah, so I have met very, very, very few of those people that you're talking about there, you know. The overwhelming majority of the Scrum Masters that I have found are people who were project managers at one time, and then all of a sudden they took the Scrum Master title and continued to be project managers. Or people that really don't understand Agile, so the hope of them being a coach is close to non-existent. The sad thing is, though, is that so many see this role as Scrum Master as the next step or as the first step toward becoming an Agile coach?
The question, of course, is that their fault, right? And that is yet a whole other side conversation. I totally agree with you, Cheesy, that I see that as well. I see that that is happening. But honestly, that doesn't dismiss for me that the value of the Scrum Master might still be there if somebody knows how to fill that role well.
If you were creating a new product right now, right, and you get six developers off the street, would you be looking for a Scrum Master along with those six developers to deal with it? Like, so there is a bit of a disconnect here, because on one end we say, well, we need a Scrum Master role. There's a lot of value there. But then again, if you're starting a brand new team and you have, you know, limited money, you wouldn't necessarily get a Scrum Master. So how do you reconcile those two thoughts?
So I don't think I ever said that you need a Scrum Master. I think that I said that a Scrum Master can be of great value to a team.
In what situations?
Well, in a situation they act as a coach, that they basically challenge the team and trying to figure out, okay, so hang on, where can we do better? That they make them look into certain statistics and information about their team that they might dig up, that individual developers might not necessarily do or have the time for, or don't know how to do either. It might be valuable as well for them to chase the resolution of some of the obstacles and so forth, so that other developers don't need to spend their time on it. If you have people on the team who can take on that role and they're used to doing that, no problem whatsoever. It's a role. It's not a function, in my opinion, right? It's a role in the first place.
From my perspective, do we need Scrum Masters? I'm going to say it kind of depends on both sides. Number one, it depends on the maturity of the team. You know, I've seen very, very mature teams who automatically understand the fact that they need to create this continuous improvement loop, and they do very well at that, and they know the types of things to look at, right? I've seen a lot of teams that don't know that. Secondly, it kind of depends on the maturity of the person who's trying to coach them, whether they have that title of a scrum master or they have that title of an agile coach. To be quite honest, the overwhelming majority of both of those roles that I run into, they really don't know how to help teams at all. I mean, they you know, so I personally would not feel good if I were in this case that you were talking about, Zarar, bringing those folks in. So the whenever I think of a scrum master, there are other things that the scrum master does other than just coach the team as well. There are some of the logistics that the scrum master does as far as coordinating or creating meetings, you know, making sure that we follow some sort of a cadence for retrospectives or whatever it might be. To be quite honest, anybody on the team could do that. In fact, we've all worked in cases where developers just kind of take turns doing that. There's also, in some cases, that this idea that the Scrum Master kind of is the bridge between the team and the outside world, you know, the groups outside of the team. That sort of is a dysfunction, to be quite honest, because that often you find that in a case where the team still has to do standard corporate reporting, where the Scrum Master is forced to create, you know, a lot of documentation or reports that are reviewed, but that really has nothing to do with Agile. For me, the outside should come through the product owner. The product owner is the voice of the customer, and that's who the team needs to be focused on.
So now if you're in a situation where you're trying to go Scrum Masterless and you're hired as a coach to work with, say, a development team for, say, like, I don't know, 6 weeks or so, what are the things you are coaching that team on so that after 6 weeks, they would never even think of having a Scrum Master?
Well, the first thing is to figure out, basically to create that autonomy and to create that ownership, that they raise obstacles, that they challenge their own process, that they challenge their own way of doing certain things, quality, whatever it might be. If they take ownership of actually doing that, and this is ultimately, hopefully, what a Scrum Master enables as well, that they would take that ownership, I would coach the team on that, on trying to speak up and raise those obstacles, take ownership of those obstacles, prioritize them as such, track them, making sure that they get resolved. And if that would take too much time away or occupy the team too much, I would challenge them on trying to figure out how to streamline that. And that might be in a variety of ways. And that's up to them to decide, of course, how they would do that. But ultimately, the Scrum Master, in my opinion, is somebody who ensures that, or in that role, ensures that risks are made visible and addressed. And I would coach the team on doing that as an entire team.
If I were going to coach a team to go Scrum Masterless, I think that there are three things that I would work with the team on. The first thing would be know how to read your Kanban board and know and understand what flow means and ideas like constraints and reducing WIP. Just really make sure that they're grounded and lean and they know how to read and adjust to that. That would be the first thing. The second thing would be for them to understand how critical it is to create a culture of continuous learning and to make sure that they constantly reevaluate themselves to say, how can we improve? And then the third thing that I would coach the team on is the importance of having Slack in the system. Slack to allow them, first of all, to grow, but also Slack to address technical issues that come up and so on. So I think if a team is well grounded in those three things, the role of a Scrum Master then, from my perspective, becomes a little bit of overhead.
Yeah, and I think your second point there, it ties into kind of my take on this, is inspect and adapt, which is a core Scrum value or principle or whatever it is that teams, once they figure out a certain cadence on how to work with, they tend to just stagnate there. They think that's the end. They have reached peak efficiency, and now we have figured out how to work as a team. And I think getting people to acknowledge that even though they are comfortable right now, this is not the end state and there is improvement to be made is a big challenge of coaching, of Scrum, in general, of people in all walks of life. And I think I would focus a lot of time in my stint with that team trying to get them to continuously inspect and adapt and not settle for the status quo, because especially in this industry, things change at a rapid rate. Techniques change, technologies change, processes change, the context changes, market changes. And to always have an ear to that and be able to react to it and respond to it in a timely manner. Otherwise, you end up being a team that can only work in a certain context, and that's not good.
Right. It's really all about that continuous learning, right? About challenging and ensuring that people feel that they are in charge as well to raise those concerns. If they see it, they own it. That's ultimately the number one thing that I would try to get in their heads, right?
So I'm sure a lot of Scrum Masters are not going to be happy with what they hear us say, if we actually have any Scrum Masters that listen to what we do in our podcast. But to be quite honest, whenever we're talking about self-organizing teams, and we're talking about teams that we believe are mature, teams that we want to be mature, I think part of the goal should be to ultimately work to a place where they don't really need that Scrum Master role, you know, and that the team can organize around the different things that a Scrum Master might normally do, and they can find a way to either have somebody on the team temporarily take that role and rotate it, or maybe even somebody that's passionate about one aspect or another can say, hey, allow me to take over this. I've also seen cases where some of those activities or some of the Scrum Master type tasks or duties are used as a way to help people grow. For example, if you have somebody who's very much an introvert and who has a lot of trouble interacting, maybe they take the role for a while and run a retrospective, for example, or something along those lines.
We talked about the attributes of a good Scrum Master and how some of these Scrum Masters ship ideas and principles need to be present on a team. However, in university or when you go through computer science education, we don't necessarily ever give explicit attention to how you might work as a team and a lot of the human element of working in teams. Because, I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's group work and all these assignments in school, but once you come into the real world, I have found that there's definitely a disconnect between a gap in how people should behave in teams and what mindsets they should have once they approach the working world.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's definitely a gap in our education system, where people are taught how to behave individually in a specific role. I've even got penalized in working together with a couple of friends in trying to tackle a really large problem. And I will never forget that, right? That's definitely one of those things. And obviously, other people might have had similar experiences, and it might still haunt them to this day and might prevent them from collaborating with other folks. So I think there's definitely a gap in our education system there. So we need to, I don't know who to talk to change that, but that's definitely something that we can improve on. However, I do want to point something out, though. We've been talking about the role of Scrum Master a couple of times, and I want to make sure that our readers know that none of us have anything against the person who fulfills that role as a Scrum Master. I think that's really important to know. I think that's important to know that the problems that we're talking about are systemic problems, and are problems that, as Cheesy said earlier on, is more like a symptom of a larger organization who feels that they need to have somebody in place because teams cannot work without a leader or somebody who controls them and cracks the whip. Something like that. I just wanted to make sure that is understood for all of our listeners as well.
Yeah, and just to build on what Hino said, just to be clear, I believe there are cases where a Scrum Master adds a lot of value. For me, in my experiences, tend to be organizations who are maybe very new to Agile, who are going through what we would call a transformation. In other words, they've been working in a waterfall way and they're trying to become more Agile. And everybody on the team is sort of new to this and they need somebody to help them out. But I'll also just say that's not the type of teams that we're talking about when we're talking about continuous delivery. So whenever we're talking about continuous delivery, you pretty much are mostly talking about quite high-performing teams to begin with, and the need for that role is greatly diminished in that space.
And this goes back to Cheesy's point, how maybe if a team can't function without a scrum master, that's an anti-pattern maybe, right? Because I think the goal here should be that you become self-sustaining. And I think that's what, as we talk through this, I think that's what I'm kind of landing on, is that the role maybe should be viewed as a temporary one until the team kind of doesn't need you anymore. It's very much more of a coach role or a consultant role than it is a permanent fixture on the team.
There's a couple of, I think 2 or 3 years ago at Agile Ottawa, GOAT, I believe the name of the conference was called. There was a keynote speaker, and I don't remember his name. Cheesy, you might, actually. And he, in his keynote, he was actually talking about how he coached a team in becoming self-sustaining. And he really talked about using the theory of constraints, if you will, and taking all the waste away. And first thing that he took away was long-term planning. Then he took away something else. Then he took away something else. And one of the steps was taking away a scrum master. And in the end, he took away the need for a coach as well. And he doesn't know anymore what happened afterwards. But that's ultimately what we are talking about here as well. If that need for the scrum master is there, well, then there is still an opportunity to improve. There's still an opportunity for your team to become more self-sufficient, for your team to take more ownership, for your team to understand how to read the Kanban board that Cheesy said, how to read the signals that you might have as a team, and how to suggest improvements and take that ownership to that continuous improvement all the time.
And we'll leave it at that, and we will conclude this edition of the Continuous Delivery Podcast. Goodbye.